fat only version. In this version of the audio, other people's comments are eliminated or summarized as much as possible. USA Chat, October 6th, 2022. Everybody remains silent until Sat joins the meeting. Farnaz thanks Sat for her presence and the opportunity, and then Sat invites everybody to share or ask questions. Mandana starts by sharing an experience she had with her daughter. Right before this chat, her daughter came to her and talked to her about agitation and stress she felt due to some political situations and news. Usually Mandana would respond emotionally and would add to the agitation, but this time she remained calm and in detail explained to her how staying silent and not adding to the commotion will help the situation the most. At the end, she adds,
"My daughter was very shocked to see the reaction, but she was kind of calm before we ended our discussion as well."
Yeah, what you did is exactly what is the best way to do it, not adding to the excitement and knowing that the best thing is to keep quiet and no interference, whether it's verbal, mental, or physical, that the world will go on the way it goes, and behind all that commotion, there is a divine energy that is conducting the whole thing. And particularly when we are with our children, our tranquility is what they come to receive, really. It's not for us to add to it, like you said. And it's wonderful that you share the difference and how the silence makes such a huge difference in our lives rather than the emotional life that we used to, all of us, live from.
With Sat's permission, Mandana shares another experience. She says that through the many years that she worked as a clinical pharmacist and dealt with patients, she saw the pain and suffering in her patients, and many times, instead of instructions about how to take their medicine, what they really needed was understanding and a kind word. She adds that if she had to do it over again, she would probably do the same job, but she would not internalize it emotionally so much. She thanks Sat for her teachings. She says that if we were all aware of these teachings before, how it could have affected our lives and things that we did in the past. Sat says,
"Yes, not too long ago I was discussing the same thing, that the need for people is different than really just medicine or temporary ointment. It goes much deeper, and the only thing that can help it is our silence and the love that rises from that silence. And you're right, our life has changed. The way we see things are not the same way that it was before. And just the fact that you couldn't not be affected for many years from the people's sorrow and pain served you right, because your sensitivity toward it got to a height that you're ready now for this. Because a lot of people are loving people, a lot of people are sensitive people. But unless they get to a point where they just cannot take it anymore, they are still not ready for it. Because what we are doing and what a spirituality in the true meaning does is just changes the way you look at things, the way you perceive them, the way you understand it. And then you say to yourself, oh my God, how ignorant the majority of people, including ourselves, lived. And to me it's really, really miraculous when the inner eye opens and you can see things and understand it in a much deeper level rather than in the level of feeling and sensitivity.
Sabita says hi. She says that she was watching the DVD called End the Struggle. In that DVD, Sat says, the struggle ends when you stop struggling. It was very interesting for her that something so obvious is so hard to understand. Sat says.
Yeah, that is so true. It's so amusing for us now, but it wasn't so amusing then, that when your identification with the struggle is one and the same, meaning that you become the struggle, that's when the struggle is. And once we realize what is happening, then is, like you said, is very obvious.
Ida says that she has this personality trait that she might say things that have negative and bad repercussions. In the past, Sat has told her to watch herself, and that has really helped her. But sometimes she catches herself too late and she has to go back and mend the situation. She asks,
I was wondering if you could guide me on how, prior to saying something that could be hurtful to someone, if there's anything I can do beforehand that could help me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, there is a instinct that goes with a habit that just triggers before you can even catch it. And that, like you said, will decrease and decrease, but he will bring his head up now and then. And it's okay. It's okay. The most important is that you see it even afterwards and you remedy it, meaning you apologize or you make it better and you move on. I don't know anybody that does not trip on their own words, or they don't say something that maybe somebody else did not want it to hear. But just the fact that you are saying that you're improving, but you don't understand why sometimes that happened, just have patience and compassion toward yourself and make it right. If you hurt someone, make it right. And that's all we can do. And then move on with your practices. The personality will never be perfect. People can pretend they are perfect, but that's going to backfire.
Ida and Mandana thank Sat for her teachings and how it has transformed their lives. Sat says,
yeah, you're very welcome. And what makes me the most happy is that not only you guys, each of you, feel freer and freer, you also set your family free, indirectly, or directly, like you did with your daughter. That's how this fire of wisdom spreads, through our own action, and words, and thoughts, and emotion, that we can become a beacon of light for others, without having to reach out to help others, without having to make the world a better place to live, without having to advertise or be somebody. In fact, when we are less somebody, the more light we can spread.
With Sat's permission, Mandana asks her question about single-minded attention.
My understanding is that when we concentrate on or pay attention to one truth, whether it's through love or wisdom, then we can build upon it. And that attention to that one truth is single-minded attention. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it is.
With Sat's permission, Rhoda asks her question about trust.
I understand now more, since you've elaborated on it, that letting go is what trust is about. I was hoping that you could tell me something that would help me further understand or let go. I mean, if I have a worry or a concern, one that repeats for me, I trust and I am at peace, but it comes back and it comes back. And I'm wondering, is the problem still that I haven't let it go? And if so, can you tell me anything to help me?
Well, in this case, when you are really conscious, when you are letting it go and you are trusting, either it does not come back, or it does not come back as often, or it won't be as strong. What I mean by being conscious when you say, when you feel like you're letting it go, conscious means I am so alert and I know what I'm doing, and there is absolutely no discussion about me picking it up. Now, this is the difference between being conscious and doing it as if you think you're conscious. When you're thinking that you're conscious, yes, you do trust, but it's not, it doesn't have that authority and conviction in you that alertness can do the job. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I see the difference.
Yeah.
I want that abundance of confidence that you talk about with trust. That comes with the alertness of what I'm doing.
Yes, yes. And don't be afraid of failing. Even if it repeats itself 100 times, you get to see it clearer and clearer for 100 times. And then you are alert and conscious.
That's really exciting. So even the failure is progress.
Failure in our journey is a success because you realize you failed. Most people don't. They think it's their way of life.
Is that because the alertness is the authority itself?
The presence is the authority, and when you're alert, you're present.
Would you please explain the heart of the mother one more time, please?
Well, is too big for explanation is the most obvious way I can explain it rather than going into details that I have already talked about. Think about God as totality. And think of it as a round or a lingam shape. Lingam is like an egg shape. That you are having a hard time to know where it started and where it ends. And think of this lingam or this oval shape as an energy or existence energy and divide it in half and then name it female and male. And I don't mean female and male the way we see female and male. It just means that they have a different magnitude. One creates, the other one supports it, is a support, is the base. The part that creates and destroys and creates again and maintains is a female. That this is intuitive, and I'm sure that is written in many scriptures, but this is the way it's coming through me. And then the other side of this energy or the light or existence, is unmoved. Okay, so the female energy is like a woman, human, in a minute scale, is the woman that gets pregnant, is the woman that the creation of a child's body comes out, right? It's a female energy. It has a specific quality to it, if we can call it quality. I'm lost with words. The same thing happens that the female, in the womb of the female, the creation starts. And so, and a mother, of course, a human mother, as soon as it finds us is pregnant, it becomes glowing and love, experiences love and selflessness like never before. That is a human, which is the minutest of the minutest of the minutest. Now imagine what kind of gentleness and love in that scale could have for this creation of the universe. And so this is why I call it love, the female energy, the one that sustains and also destroys. What it destroys is the unwanted, harmful thing that could interfere with the loving creation. It's like the way we protect our child from getting hurt. So this is very verbal, but intuitively I am not able to explain it to you. It's way beyond this explanation, but honestly is almost formless intuition for me. But so when we identify and understand and identify with that, we're one with it. So that's the best I can do for you.
Is heart of the mother the same as divine mother?
You can name it anything you want. Yes. You can say heart of the mother. Yeah, it is. You can call it divine mother. You can call it Shakti. You can call it whatever. It is important that there is understanding beyond the name. Really, this Divine Mother is unfolding for me as well as you guys, because like I said, before 2001, I was never attracted to the mother aspect of God. It was always Father, as I said before. And just recently, I remembered that 1981, I had a huge encounter with the Divine Mother. That for some reason throughout the years, it left the memory of it. And so come 2001, before the 9/11, a few months before 9/11, when I started this impression of divinity to be so important in my life. And honestly, it's just unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. So as I unfold, I would also be able to share more. For now, that's pretty much it. Well, my dear ones, here goes another beautiful heart-to-heart chat. And that's it. Namaste to all of you. See you guys later. We meet in our hearts. Namaste.